the Monday edition, the injury edition. Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery and Underdog. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call That's All Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Joshy DiMaggio with me as well. Riley Yauch, young Riley Yauch, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, filling in for Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn today on this Monday after the Packers season opening loss Friday afternoon, Friday night in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Yeah, the loss is secondary. The game is secondary. Obviously, everything comes down to Packers quarterback Jordan Love, who leaves the game with 6 seconds remaining on the clock. Packers down five. And ultimately, it's a sprained MCL. I guess, you know, two ways to look at this, right? I mean, initially, I think we all thought the season was over, given the way he kind of hobbled off and was in pain. It was on the ground. And then you get the good news that he leaves the facility in Sao Paulo, Brazil, without a limp. He gets back to Green Bay. And ultimately, it's a sprained MCL, and it sounds like it could have been a much worse sprained MCL or a worse MCL injury. Jordan Love set to miss somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks, it sounds like, which isn't the end of the world. But when you start the season 0-1, it feels a little bit worse than, say, if you started the season 1-0, right? I mean, if Malik Willis takes over this team, which we'll get to in a little bit, if Malik Willis takes over this team and you are 1-0, I think you feel a little bit more optimistic than Malik Willis taking over the team at 0-1. At least that's how I feel. But when it comes to Jordan Love, I think you're happy it is not a super long-term injury, but it sucks how it happened, it sucks where it happened, and it sucks that the Packers lost on top of losing their quarterback for at least the foreseeable future, the next couple of weeks. So yeah, it sucks. There's no other way to put it. But the situation in which it sucks, sucks more. You're down five. You have an opportunity to Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary it and win the game. And Jordan Love goes down with literally 6 seconds left on the clock. Malik Willis got two plays. It's not as bad as I initially anticipated, but it's still never good when you lose your starting quarterback for at least a couple of weeks. I think the timeline varies between like 2 and 5 weeks, it sounds like, for Jordan Love's sprained MCL. So, 3 days removed now from the game and 2 days removed from the diagnosis and the prognosis on Jordan Love's MCL, it still feels like crap, but I think you can take a little bit of faith into this weekend, right? When you look at the schedule for the next 4 weeks, it's not like you play the Niners or the Chiefs or the Lions, right? You have the Colts at Lambeau Field this weekend. You go to Nashville next weekend, where I will be, for Packers at Titans, the Malik Willis revenge game. You round out the month of September at home against the Vikings, and your first game in October is at the Rams. So let's say it's four games. Those are the four games you have to wait and see on Malik Willis. Colts at Lambeau, at the Titans, Vikings at Lambeau, at the Rams. It's better than some of the other chunks of the schedule. I guess I'll just start with that. But Jordan Love out for at least the next couple of weeks with a sprained MCL, according to multiple reports, will miss somewhere between, we can guess, 2 and 5 weeks. And there, you know for a fact, unless they're 0-3, there's no way they're rushing Love back in 2 weeks. I have a hard time believing, unless they lose to both the Colts and the Titans, we do not see Jordan Love for the remainder of September, which is okay. Right, I guess if this is going to happen, when would you like it to happen? You'd like it to happen at the beginning of the year where he can come back, and even if you are in a position you were a year ago, if you're 2-5, let's say, after 7 games, you saw Love do it last year, so why wouldn't you believe in him to lead this offense, to do it again, right? Rattle off, you know, 8 of your last 10, and get a wild card spot and hope, you know, the offense is humming, the defense has finally figured it out, and you're good to go down the stretch. But this sucks. There's no other way to frame this other than this sucks. You bring in Malik Willis literally 2 weeks ago, and now you're going to expect him to commandeer your offense for the next month. It's certainly not ideal when you pay a guy $55 million a year. And it's not his fault by any means, but you pay him what at the time was the largest quarterback contract per year in the NFL. Dak Prescott signed yesterday and beat that at $60 million a year. So Jordan Love, the second highest paid annually quarterback in the NFL now, goes down in week one. It just stinks, right? There's no other way to frame it. There's no other way to spin it. That's just how it is. So obviously I hope he's back in 2 weeks. Obviously I hope he's back next week, right? Maybe they just missed, you know, I can hope and pray and do all that stuff, but it sucks. Cheesehead Bucky on YouTube bringing some optimism, which is necessary. I think Love is back in 2 weeks. Aaron Jones never missed more than three games with the same injury. I believe it's harder for a running back to return from this than it is a quarterback. And I hope you're right. But I would make the case, Cheesehead Bucky. You want to see the Packers probably chill out, right? You don't want to re-aggravate. You don't want to run through this again with Jordan Love. You don't want to get to a point in the season where he's saying, you know, or he's dealing with the injury and it nags on and on and on until October and November. You just want him to get back to 100% ASAP and then you let him come in. And even if he's at 90, then maybe you play him in 3 weeks. But I would say they're going to take their time on this unless they are legitimately 0-3 or 0-4, which I don't think will happen. So here's how I want to do this. I want to continue to react to the Love Injury L show until 1:30 Central. Brad Nortman's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We're going to react to this. We're going to react to the Packers' loss, and we'll continue to speculate. A bit later in the program, I do want to discuss, after we let Brad Nortman go, I do want to discuss the expectations for Malik Willis. Because, like I said, you traded for him 2 weeks ago. It's not like he's got the playbook down. It's not like he's got it all figured out. And it's not like he's this star-studded backup quarterback, which we discussed at length after the trade happened. He's a project. He was the third quarterback on the Titans. He has minimal regular season experience. He didn't light up the preseason. So what are the legitimate expectations for Malik Willis? We will talk about that after Brad Nortman joins us. I do want to react briefly, though, to the loss in Sao Paulo. It was an entertaining game up until the six-second mark when Jordan Love went out with the injury. But the Packers ultimately fall a final of 34-29, surprisingly not scoreigami, in the opener, week one Friday in Brazil. And I guess the big takeaways from this game are the following. The defense wasn't all it was cracked up to be, although they didn't look awful. The run defense is no better than it was a year ago, as Saquon Barkley just goes bananas. And look, as Packers fans, you're used to this the last 15 years. If you're playing a premier back, or David Montgomery, because he always shreds the Packers, but if you're playing a premier back or David Montgomery, you are going to get shredded on the ground. Saquon Barkley did just that. Saquon Barkley shredded the Packers. Three touchdowns in his Eagles debut, which I believe ties only Randy Moss as a Patriot as an NFL record, with three touchdowns in a debut. He was phenomenal. And the Packers defense just frankly was not. The Packers offense, meh. I do want to pull in Joshy DiMaggio quick because the thing with Joshy is he's very, very, very good at getting under people's skin. It's probably his best talent, which is why I love having him on Mr. Relevant and love working with him at Good Karma Brands and ESPN Wisconsin. Joshy, what's the first thing you said to me today?
Do the Packers have a kicker?
It was a version of that. Yeah, I think you said, "Do you stand by your comments that the Packers have a kicker?" After Braden Narveson, the Narv Dog, does miss a field goal off the upright on Friday night.
Game's a lot different, huh?
Yeah, and the 2-point conversion they missed. Uh-huh. That's 5 points.
Uh-huh.
So
fourth down, going for it,
right? I mean, you're kicking a field goal instead if he doesn't miss that one earlier. I'm not ready to give up on him yet. But yeah, that's a bad miss. And I was thinking about this on Friday night, Josh. I actually haven't given this thought out loud yet. But I do remember I was producing for Homer on the Homer Hour a couple weeks ago after Narv Dog was brought in. And he put out the poll, how many games will the Packers kicker cost them? Do we chalk the Eagles game up to Braden Narveson or more issues?
No, I don't think that's fair. As much as I would like to needle you, the game was lost when they didn't convert two touchdowns given turnovers and short fields. That's where everything, obviously you can point to more things where things continued to go wrong, not being able to get off the field, et cetera, but when you have the chance to score 7 that early and put a team behind, I mean, the game's totally different.
Totally. No, you're 1,000% spot on that. I do want to outline a positive, though, because you're a Dontavian Wicks guy. I am a Jaden Reed guy. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying Dontavian Wicks, we got to give up on him, but a bad drop, no catches for him.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Reed was absolutely electric.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a star.
Yeah, he's a superstar. He had the one carry for 33 yards and the touchdown, and then four catches for 138 yards and a touchdown. That is an average reception of 35 yards.
Yeah, and that doesn't even mention the 30-yard rushing touchdown he had as part of that.
The 33-yard rushing touchdown he had. I mean, he was absolutely amazing for this Packers offense, and they're going to need more out of him, or more of that out of him, I should say, the next couple of weeks without Jordan Love, right? I mean, and Josh Jacobs, I would say, man, his debut at best.
Yeah, I thought it improved in the second half.
It did, but it was slow to begin with.
He was doing the Memorial A.J. Dillon performance there, what it looked like for much of the first half. I do think we can't understate how bad the offensive line was for much of that first half as well.
Yeah, that's
but he
point.
Looked indecisive and not really sure what he was seeing. I think the slipping played a factor for multiple players having bad performances, and they let it get to their head. Because, I mean, Dontavian Wicks... I feel pretty confident if he doesn't fall to the ground and try and stand back up and catch it, he just makes that catch. I think he showed some frustration that was pretty clear there as well. I think that's also the risk of trying to get a guy to come, you know, any guy who's not playing full-time snaps, they're going to have a harder time like being in the game. And I mean, it's his job to be a professional and better at it, but he's also a second-year, fifth-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of things to dive into there. When it comes to the offensive line, it reminded me a bit of last year early goings.
Yeah.
Right? They got better and you know, were better as a group as we went down the stretch. It looked like week one. Josh Jacobs is going to be hugely, hugely, hugely important.
Yes.
The next couple of weeks without Jordan Love. But yeah, I overall, it looked like week one a bit. It looked like a team that didn't play a ton in the preseason. It was a fun game outside of the final 6 seconds when Jordan Love went down with the MCL.
Last comment on Jaden Reed is I think he's going to be even more important than he was last week. On the starter pack, which Max Meyerson and I do, I thought right away when I started thinking about the front seven for the Philadelphia Eagles, like they're going to get this guy the ball not only because he's so talented and can make things happen, but they simply need to get it out fast. And they need him to be able to operate and make plays with the ball in his hands. So I think he's going to, how many touches did he have?
A total of only five.
I would expect that to be closer to 10.
I would agree. I would agree. And more action in the backfield, you're saying, as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
they're going to be, he's going to be more multiple than he was even.
We called them jokingly several times last year, like Debo Samuel light.
I'm standing by that.
Oh, I mean, it's not light, I don't think, anymore. Like, I think Jaden Reed is ready to get catapulted into superstardom in 2024.
And interestingly enough, I think he's a better, like, route runner and pass catcher, like pure
I don't think
catcher.
I disagree with that at all.
Obviously, Debo has a long storied history with the ball in his hands. And is a little bit bigger of a guy, but yeah, it's very comparable.
All right, we will continue to discuss takeaways from the Packers' season opening loss, 34-29 to the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday. Packers start 0-1, and they are 0-1 in the injury department as they fall without Jordan Love the final 6 seconds. He has a sprained MCL. He will be out at least 2 weeks, probably closer to four. Let's take a quick break. I got to tell you about Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. For me, football season is whiskey season. I love the Door County Distillery bourbon. I love the Door County Distillery single malt whiskey, which has won 27 gold medals, and of course the rye whiskey from Door County Distillery. You can check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com, to find the retailer nearest you, as well as a huge list of unique cocktail recipes. That's doorcountydistillery.com. We step aside for 60 seconds. When we return, former Wisconsin Badger, 6-year NFL veteran, punter Brad Nortman joins us on the other side. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Struff. Where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to Sugar River Pizza, the legendary in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Let's go to the bar. Let's see what they've got. We're here in the beautiful bar at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. My guy Kyle just mixed me up a cherry brandy old fashioned with the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. It's delicious. I tell you it all the time. It's proven it right here. the best.
I'll tell you what, Kyle can make a cocktail.
All right, power ranking. Top three drinks to have from Door County Distillery. We're going 3-1. Number three, it's a split decision, but they're both on the rocks. Either the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey or my personal favorite, the bourbon. Right on the rocks. Nice Sunday night and the weekend. I love it. That's number three. Number two, the Cherry Cosmo with that green bottle of gin. That thing tastes like summer. It's unbelievable. It's delicious. You got to try it. Check out the recipe. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Number one, it's in my left hand right now with the cherry brandy made with local Door County cherries, the cherry brandy old fashioned. That's my list, but there's no wrong answers. You got to find out for yourself. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Packers lose 34-29 to the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday in the season opener. Jordan Love goes down 6 seconds left in the game with an MCL sprain. He'll miss 2 to 4 weeks, it's said right now. We'll see if it's shorter. We'll see if it's longer, but not ideal as the Packers start their season 0-1 and don't really have anybody to play backup quarterback. Brad Nortman, former NFL punter, host of Kyle Brustin Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin, joins me now. I guess let's just start there, Bradley. Initial reactions as Love goes down with a sprained MCL. I think I've said the term "this sucks" at least 14 times today already.
Well, that's an accurate way to depict that, because when it happened, look, I even thought, when we were walking, going down the field to try to win the game against the Eagles, it felt like it was a Hail Mary type situation. And to have Love get hurt in that moment, like with 5 seconds to go, it's a gut punch. It really is. I mean, you look at it and there's a lot to improve upon for the Green Bay Packers from Friday night. But if Jordan Love walked away healthy, I wouldn't feel too bad. I would say, okay, we know this team has talent. Yep. We know this team is ripe to be an NFC contender. They just got to dial some things in a little bit, but there was enough to be positive about to make me optimistic for the season. But now I look and say, man, it might be 2 to 4 weeks without Jordan Love into the easiest part of the Green Bay Packers schedule where they got to get some wins. You look at the rest of their schedule and you say, these are must wins. Okay, must wins might be a little too strong. You assume these games you would win in order to get to 10, 11, 12 wins. Yeah. Now they're coin flips, to say the least. I mean, if you want to wonder about Jordan Love's value, right? If you're a fan wondering, you know what, was he worth $55 million? You know, that's a lot of money for a guy that played 1 year. Look no further than what happened to the betting spreads. The Packers were a 4.5, 5-point favorite against the Colts. Now they're a 3 to 4 point underdog. Yeah. That's like a 10-point swing. Jordan Love is worth a touchdown and worth being from a favorite to an underdog. And I'm not sure that they are going to be able to pull off any victories in the next coming week. They're going to have their work cut out for them. So it was a gut punch. I was thankful on Saturday that it wasn't as bad as we all thought.
Yeah.
Because I was assuming the worst. I'm not going to lie. When I saw that, I was
when
like,
when you need to get helped off the field, yeah, it's a bad look.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like, oh boy, is this an ACL? Is it an Achilles? Is it an MCL tear? And ultimately it comes out to a sprained MCL, thank goodness, to your point. 2 to 4 weeks, it says. So let's just roll over the next four games that you mentioned, Brad. So they host Indianapolis Sunday for the home opener at Lambeau Field. The following week, they go to Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans, the Malik Willis revenge game, we assume. Ooh. Or the Ryan Tannehill revenge game, which we'll get
Brandon
to in a second.
Brandon Narveson revenge game,
oh, yeah,
too.
Good point. The Narve talk. A lot of revenge going on in Nashville in a couple of weeks. They return at the end of September to host the Vikings, and then four games from now, which is about a month from a couple days ago. It was a month from Friday. They're at the LA Rams. So Colts, Titans, Vikings, Rams, the next four. Yeah, I'm not feeling super great about those. I think 1-3 or 2-2 is possible, but you need good play out of Malik Willis, who I assume we assume will be playing quarterback.
Yeah, you really will. I mean, I'm going to assume four games. So I'm going to assume he's going to miss the LA game. He's going to come back for that. If the Packers can go 2-2, that's nothing short of miraculous, in my opinion. 2-2.
Really?
Yeah, I think Malik Willis is in, and the Packer offense is in for a struggle. I mean, looking back at his play in the NFL, he's raw, right? I mean, he's in his third year at this point, maybe fourth, and he still has playmaking ability, but he's raw. And Matt LaFleur is going to put his coaching ability on display. We're going to really learn if Matt LaFleur is a really good head coach or an elite head coach, because if he can figure out a way to game plan Malik Willis to be effective, to be dangerous, to score some points, boy, oh boy, Matt LaFleur's greatness will be on display. But, you know, I see realistically 1-3 being over the next four games. And then you're looking at, what is that? You're 1-4,
yeah,
right? That's not too far off from 2-5 when last year we felt like all hope was lost. It's just my general reaction now that I've been able to digest it. is the Packers are going to have to claw their way back in the same way they did last year. I was hoping that this would be the season that they could get out in front, they could build confidence, and you weren't going to have virtual must-win games in November, December. I'm just struggling to see a way that that isn't the case, right? I think this team is going to have to try to find a way to win one or two games, but if you're going to try to catch the Lions, you're going to try to catch the eventual wild card race that's going to eventually unfold. You got to find a way to get 9, 10, 11 wins. And that means to end the year, you're going to have to probably win something like 8 of your last 10 games.
Yeah, the stat I hate to bring up because it's only week one, but it does kind of matter when you look at the Packers' schedule, you know, upcoming, given the fact they will be without their franchise quarterback. They were the only team in the NFC North not to win in week one. Mm. The Green Bay Packers are statistically in fourth place of the NFC North, 0-1. The Bears, Lions, and Vikings all getting wins yesterday. It doesn't matter a ton in the grand scheme of things, but I think every Packers fan was watching Sunday night go to overtime last night between the Rams and the Lions going, come on, Rams! Let's go, Stafford! Get a W! Because, look, at the end of the day, I still think, regardless of whether or not Love misses three games, four games, five games, they will still be a playoff team. And I think they can still be in the race for the NFC North. It just might not be as tight as maybe we initially expected because we assumed Love would play all 17.
You're going to have to hope Jordan Love is the quarterback he was at the end of the year. Not just, I mean, we talk a lot about, okay, Jordan Love got the contract. He is a quarterback one. But what is he, the normalized version of Jordan Love? You know, he's not the bad quarterback that started the year last year. And I wouldn't even say bad, just, you know, below average. And the elite quarterback that ended the year, probably not fair expectations to put on it. If you're going to go on a winning streak like that to win the NFC North against the Lions team that I saw last night, that's a good Lions team.
Good Lions
team. It's a really good Lions team. I'm not particularly worried about the Bears and the Vikings, but it's a good Lions team to win the division. You're going to have to see Jordan Love be dialed in. Be that same Jordan Love or close to it that we saw at the end of 2023. And my big question that I'm wondering now is, okay, we know there's going to be at least 2 or 3 weeks of Malik Willis, probably something like 4. Did a little medical reaching out to some doctors.
Oh, did you? You got sources.
The MCL, the MCL, main stabilizer in the knee. Okay? So what that tells me is,
okay,
do you wait until Jordan Love is back fully? Like, I feel great. I feel better than I did before Friday night. Mm-hmm. Or do you bring him back? You know, I feel 80%, but we're just going to stay in the pocket. We're going to get rid of the ball quickly. Well, that's going to be a tough conversation, not for this week, but in like 3 or 4 weeks.
So it's a really good question, but I think you know better than me, being in NFL locker rooms for 6 years. It's going to be fully dependent on what the record is. If Malik Willis is 3-0, let's say the Packers beat the Colts, Titans, and Vikings the next 3 weeks with Malik Willis playing quarterback. I know that's probably fantasy land, but let's just
be an exciting moment. Quarterback controversy?
Shut up.
Quarterback controversy.
Shut up. But nice drop in by young Riley Yauch. In the hypothetical, they go, shoot, Brad, even 2-1. Let's say they're 500 after 3 weeks. And Jordan Love's at 75-80%. I think you rest him another week.
Yeah, I think you do.
And it's not a quarterback controversy. It's playing your cards correctly.
Right.
Right? If you lose that game, you're 2-3, and Love comes back one game under 500 to play the Arizona Cardinals in mid-October, I think you feel okay about that. But it's a fair question by you, because if they go 0-3, and Love goes, I'm at 80%, you're 0-4.
Yeah.
This is a team with championship aspirations. They probably need their championship-level quarterback.
Speaking about the record that you're talking about that Malik Willis has to do over the next couple of weeks to keep them in contention, do you think the Packers are still confident in the trade they made 2 weeks ago to get Malik Willis? Or do you think they're looking back now and saying, I wish we would have done something a little bit different knowing what we know now?
Yeah, so I do want to give credit to Jason Wilde, who brought this up on ESPN Wisconsin's Sunday Karma yesterday, Brad. He brought up the 2013 season, which is when the Packers moved on from Graham Harrell. They brought in Scott Tolzien and Seneca Wallace, and Vince Young was there during training camp.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
And they didn't love any of those guys, but ultimately Rodgers went down earlier in the season. You saw Scott Tolzien. You saw Seneca Wallace. They ended up bringing in a couple other guys, too, during that season. But Rodgers wasn't out the whole year, but they didn't really love any of their backup plans, and ultimately it was a season that ended in disappointment for a team that was only a few years removed from a Super Bowl win and only 2 years removed from a 15-1 regular season. It feels very similar to that. Mm-hmm. They didn't love Clifford. He's on the practice squad. They obviously didn't love Tulane, Michael Pratt, who they cut and didn't bring back. You trade for what everybody's called a project in Malik Willis, and now you are going to have to work on that project week two already. So, no, I don't think they have a ton of confidence. I don't think they love the trade to begin with. You trade a seventh-round pick for him, right? It's not like they're trading a second-round pick for Malik Willis. They're in love with this guy. It's nerve-wracking because he's had, what, 2 weeks to pick up a playbook, and he's a quarterback. Right? If you're what, maybe a left guard, it's a different story. But you're quarterback. You're running the whole offense.
You got to know everybody's role. Yeah. Everybody's role.
So how do you have confidence in week two with Malik Willis? I don't know how you do. I'm imagining, Brad, we are going to see a Packers offense that looked a lot like it did in week two last year. Matt LaFleur way sizing down the playbook.
Yes.
Not getting super creative or innovative offensively and taking a lot of pressure off of Malik Willis than putting it on Malik Willis.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, that's really the only option. And I think you're going to have to lean into Malik Willis's skill set, right? We know he's raw and we know that we're going to have to use his legs a little bit. I think if there's one game you're going to win, it's this next one because I don't think they know how to game plan, right? How do you game plan against this Green Bay offense with Malik Willis as quarterback? There's no film on it. There's no way to really understand what they're going to lean into, what their strengths and weaknesses are going to be. There's been very little film on him in general outside the preseason, which is hard to scheme against too because everything is so vanilla. So if there's a week to shock the world, so to speak, it's this week, and you pull out some wrinkles that are specifically made for Malik Willis, get him comfortable, get him running a little bit, get him some easy passes, and honestly, just get the ball in the hands of your playmakers as fast as you possibly can. You should either be running with Malik Willis, handing the ball off and hopefully establishing the run, or getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers as fast as you possibly can, right? We're talking about quick passes, Jaden Reed. Let's not do a seven-step drop here and air it out to Christian Watson. Like, that is not what it's going to be. So when you say to condense the playbook, that's exactly what's going to happen. And the first week is the best way to have success with that, because by the time you get to week two and three of that, it's going to be a lot easier for the defenses to defend. So if you're going to get a win, this is the week to do it.
Yeah, you're right on that, unfortunately. Joshy DiMaggio chiming in via text message. Would you just like to say what you texted me?
Brad was talking about the game plan, and I said they're just going to load the box and make them throw. They're going
to try to eliminate Josh Jacobs.
They're going to say, beat us, I dare you.
Yeah.
And Malik Willis, hopefully he's up to that.
Well, let's do a quick pulse test. So Joshy, I'll start with you. Do you have faith in Malik Willis to win a football game next week?
Next week, no. I think he can win a game or two. I don't know how well he's going to do in the first time out there.
Okay, Riley, yeah, we go to you in the Everlight Solar Studio. Do you have faith in Malik Willis to win a game next week?
Yes, 100%. I'm watching his Liberty highlights as we speak. Dude's a dog. He's going to get us a dub. I have full faith.
Inject the Liberty highlights into Riley Yauch's
tape. Yes.
Rather than producing the show currently, he is watching Malik Willis Liberty highlight tapes. And you know what? Typically, I'd get after you for that, Riley. Respect the hell out of that. Well done by you.
Was Malik Willis there when what's-his-name was calling the game from a hospital room that they moved the bed near the window?
Remember that?
That's right.
I don't know what you're referring to.
That was the head coach, right?
The former Arkansas head coach, right? Or
yes.
Yeah, who is kind of steeped in scandal, right?
The neck brace guy.
The neck brace
What's
guy.
What's his name? I'm blanking
Petrino?
On the name.
Petrino?
It wasn't Bobby Petrino.
It's something like that.
Liberty. I'm just going to Google Liberty Coach Hospital.
That we'll be able to.
Hugh Freeze. Yep.
Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze.
Yes. Hugh Freeze coached from a hospital bed and coach's booth. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. What a headline that is from USA Today.
The question of do I have faith in Malik Willis to win a game? I don't have faith in Malik Willis to win this game. I have faith that the Packers can win the game.
Matt LaFleur specifically?
It's going to have to be a collective effort. It's going to have to be the defense looking much better than they did on Friday night. Special teams making a positive impact. The other superstars stepping up on the offensive side. And Matt LaFleur putting him in an unbelievably good situation. If it falls on Malik Willis to make plays, this team will lose.
No,
but
you're right.
Everybody else is going to have to take a collective major step forward to cover up for it. And then it's basically going to be like kind of what Joshy says, where it's like, if they're going to make Malik Willis try to beat you, my thing would be let everybody else step up and try not to make a mistake. Like, don't don't have Malik Willis lose you the game.
Yeah, before you joined us, Josh and I were discussing how good Jaden Reed was.
Oh,
he only had five touches, right? He had the carry and four catches, and he had almost 200 yards and two touchdowns. That's going to be a big part of their game plan, I would imagine, moving forward. And then you add in a Josh Jacobs, you add in the tight ends. Like, you've got the skill positions, you've got the weapons. It's up to them to kind of maximize Malik Willis, similarly to how Jordan Love elevated those guys a year ago. And that's going to be the intriguing part over the course of the next few weeks for me.
Yeah, I mean, my expectation for Malik Willis is him to play like a rookie quarterback. We saw how these other rookie quarterbacks are playing. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels. They struggled. I mean, they're basically 55 to 60% completion percentage, very little touchdowns, not a lot of offensive movement. The best thing you can do is just limit turnovers and maybe use your legs to get comfortable. So I don't expect a whole lot beyond a rookie quarterback performance. You can win with that, but you win with really good defense, dialed in special teams, and your playmakers taking a step forward.
All right, real quick, quick hitters before we let you go, Bradley. Just from that game on Friday, the 34-29 loss for the Packers, you mentioned the defense needs to play a lot better than it did last week. What were your initial impressions of the Jeff Hafley-led defense for Green Bay? Okay, yeah, that's a reaction.
I would say a lot of sizzle with not a lot of steak. If you ever heard that phrase before?
Yeah, I have.
Where basically it's just a lot of it's a lot of verbal pomp going into it, that this is all going to be different and this is what it's going to be like.
Good use of the word pomp, by the way. Continue.
Yeah. Thank you. But like beyond the veneer, it just felt like a lot of the same stuff. It just felt like inability to stop the run, secondary, not able to. Well, the one thing I will say is turnovers was a positive, right?
Yep.
They kind of gave them one turnover with the fumble, but your two, secondary playmakers in McKinney and Jair making a turn, like interceptions, which is helpful. But it wasn't the product that I expected based on all of the advertisement. This is new. This is going to be letting it rip. This is the defense that is getting after the offense all training camp. I didn't see that. So it was closer to more of the same than it was anything new that I feel like, oh, wow, this defense is going to be a true asset for this team.
Yeah, I said it at the top. If the Packers play an elite running back or David Montgomery, they get slashed,
yes.
Right? It's just historically David Montgomery owns the Packers on the ground game. And you think back 15 years, right? Think about the Adrian Petersons and the Matt Fortes of the world. They were slashing the Packers defense a decade ago. And it continues to be the case as Saquon Barkley has what a debut for him in Philadelphia. Three touchdowns for Saquon against the Packers defense on Friday. Braden Narveson, the rookie kicker. Okay game, 3 for 4, made both of his extra points, but did miss that. What ended up being a pretty crucial field goal in that game. How do you evaluate a rookie kicker, Brad? I mean, obviously, you spent 6 years in the NFL in the specialist room. You know a hell of a lot better than any of us. It seemed like he was okay. It seems way too early to give up on a guy, but misses a kick in his NFL debut.
Yeah. With a rookie kicker, it's make the kicks you should make. I would say anything under 50 should be close to, it should be 90%, right? I mean, you should be 90% under 50. And the one he missed hit the upright, so it's not like he completely pushed it and, missed the net and went to the stands. So it's close, but obviously it is a miss. So for me, with a rookie kicker, is make the kicks you should make. That includes extra points. The problem is that's still not good enough considering kicking in today's game, right? I mean, you saw Chris Boswell make 6 kicks, 3 of which were 50 or more. I mean, kickers are regularly hitting 50-plus yard field goals, making it in the middle third of the post and hitting with ease. I mean, you saw Aubrey for the Cowboys stroke that 66 yarder. And if not for that delay of game, we would have had a new record tied with Justin Tucker. So you are at a bit of a disadvantage going into the game if you can't have a kicker that matches that. My expectation is a rookie kicker cannot match that. So that's why you like to find a guy and stick with him, so that when he hits his prime, he hits his footing, you're able to enjoy that and actually be able to be at the same caliber as everyone else. The Packers just aren't there.
You're a specialist, so I imagine you probably nerded out about the new kickoff rules. It's still taking some getting used to for me, watching as an NFL fan after, pretty much a full week one outside of tonight between the Jets and the Niners in the books. It's weird. I think I like it.
I like it more than the traditional kickoff, as long as kickoffs are actually being returned, generally speaking. Now, not that everyone needs to, but if we're just going to have like touchbacks, I was watching a game, I think it might have been the Packer-Eagle game, where almost everyone was a touchback.
It sure was.
And I'm thinking, well, if it's going to be a touchback, we might as well have the beautiful unison of everyone getting off the line together.
Right.
But when there were returns, It's kind of fascinating. It was a little bit chaotic, right? Yeah. It just seems like it's a scrum. It's a lot of hand fighting and trying to find a lane. But there were some big plays on kickoff. And I'll say this, too, for the touchbacks, ball at the 30-yard line, that's not far from scoring position for a good offense. So it means for more offense, more intrigue. In general, I like the new rules. I don't think they're done as far as shifting the kickoff to be a more intriguing play. But so far, so good.
Panthers and Jaguars both lost.
It's a tough weekend to the Norman household. Packers, Jags, and Panthers. Panthers, an embarrassing faction.
Yeah, 47-10.
Yeah, hard to watch that one.
Did you watch it?
I got the red zone.
Okay.
So I got enough of the Saints scoring updates.
Yeah.
I was excited about the Jags, though. I mean, you got to a quick lead and said, let's go over the Dolphins. But you got to shut the door on the Dolphins because they can strike quickly. They sure did. Luckily, the Badgers won. Not in very impressive fashion, but at least they won. Or else it'd be a clean sweep in the Norman household.
Yeah, almost. Morale sweep. I mean, Badgers winning by 2 touchdowns again against a lesser opponent isn't very encouraging ahead of Alabama coming to Camp Randall this Saturday.
So. Morale sweep. Doesn't make me feel better, Strofe.
No, I'm sorry. Well, here, I'll make you feel better because you were a Packers fan growing up. I think we can call you a Packers fan again.
Yeah, I'll call myself a Packer fan.
Caleb Williams stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough debut for him in Chicago.
Yeah, as a Packer fan, if I'm gonna
wear that hat, Bradley, wear proud.
Take on to that persona. It frustrated me that they got the win. I'm not gonna lie, like the Caleb Williams and the offense did so bad. Of course, it's a pick six and a block punt touchdown to squeak their way into the win column because they did not deserve to win that game. But yeah, Caleb Williams, he looks like he was overwhelmed. He looks like he was overwhelmed. The game was moving fast. He had a couple of good throws, but he is not the quarterback. That it's not as easy in college as it is in the NFL. No. That's clear. So the question is, how quickly can he adjust and get comfortable? It usually takes more time than you think. I mean, it's possible. Look at CJ Stroud, but he does not elicit a ton of confidence for the Bears fans. If I'm a Bear fan this morning.
Yeah, I'll say what though. Jaden Daniels for Washington looked really good. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, Garrett on the YouTube stream says, Caleb Williams stinks. Did you watch the offensive line play? You could do better, Strofe. I would assume Garrett is a Bears fan. Garrett, I'm just messing around a little bit. I don't think it's way too early to say he stinks.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to say he kind of stunk in week one. And yes, obviously the Bears offensive line still has problems. Yeah, good point, Josh. Not kind of.
He didn't even get 100 passing yards.
Yeah, no.
Who would have guessed the guy that couldn't function inside structure struggled in the NFL?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's
a really good point.
With his weapons, too. I mean, you think you get DJ Moore the ball on a bubble screen and he can get you 100 yards, right? Yeah. I mean, if you do that 6 times and you'd be all right.
It might be a rough year for the Bears. And I thought that was going to be a team. And Josh, he makes fun of me, calls me a closet Bears fan. I thought that was a team that could win 9 games, 10 games. Like, I thought they were fine last year. I think they finished the year 7-10. 2-game improvement is 9-8 and likely a wild card spot. So I didn't think that would be shocking given the upgrades they made, especially on offense. It was rough yesterday for the Bears despite the win over Tennessee.
Maybe instead of the 9th overall going to the 3rd wide receiver on your roster, you could fix that offensive line.
That's a good point.
Novel thought.
It's a good point. So I will say the one thing that gives me confidence in 2 weeks is that the Bears beat the Tennessee Titans yesterday despite Caleb Williams not doing a whole heck of a lot. Maybe the Packers can do the same with Malik Willis in 2 weeks when I'm in Nashville.
But I bet you Malik Willis will be able to do what Caleb Williams did.
Yeah, that's a take.
No, that's a fair. That's a good take right there. He can replicate that stat line.
Yes.
That's well said. Bradley, we will listen to you in 50 minutes. Kyle Bruston-Ortman from 2 to 5 on ESPN Wisconsin. We'll do it again in a few weeks. Appreciate you stopping by per usual.
Thanks, Trophy. Thanks for having me.
Of course. That's the legendary Brad Nortman from Kyle Bruston-Ortman. Spent 6 years in the NFL, as mentioned, with the Panthers and the Jaguars. 2 losers this weekend in the NFL. I will say, though, if they had Brad Nortman on the roster, the Panthers or the Jaguars, they probably would have won this weekend. The Panthers lost by 37 points. You add the punter extraordinaire that is Brad Nortman, you're probably getting a W this weekend. Just throwing that out there. Hey, Mr. Relevant, brought to you in part by Underdog, the NFL season finally here. My partner at Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more exciting. Join the millions of fans, which includes me, which includes Joshy, that played on Underdog last year with their Pick'em game. I got an $80 win this weekend on the Pick'em game on Underdog. All you got to do, you make a couple selections. You click higher or lower, and you put them all in a Pick'em entry. Look at stats, look at projections, pick higher, pick lower. choose a payout, you're good to go, baby. Just a quick pick of entry on Underdog. You can use promo code GOODKARMA. Get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick on the Underdog app. That's promo code GOODKARMA, GOODKARMA. Good Karma on the Underdog Fantasy app. Get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. All you got to do, higher, lower, pick them, boom, winners. Let's get some winners. I'll tweet out my picks every Friday. I'll show them to you as well on Mr. Irrelevant. Here, Joshy, you're looking at me strange. What do you got? You got an underdog win to brag about or what?
No, Josh Jacobs owes me hundreds of dollars. I'll be sending him an invoice. I had multiple picks that were brought down by the first touchdown score, which he had the opportunity to do, and then twice, actually, and then just the anytime. Not good.
Tough. Sorry, buddy.
I'm mad at him.
Yeah, you should be. I'm mad at the referees for pulling back my Jaden Reed first touchdown, which would have pocketed a much better weekend. But I had an okay weekend on the Underdog app. Promo code GOODKARMA on Underdog. All right, here's the conversation we're all dreading to have. It's time to talk about the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Now, once again, I would like to get a pulse of the fan base, and I will give my answer as well. I will start in the Everlight Solar Studio with Riley Yauch. Riley.
Yes.
Would you like the Packers to ride with Malik Willis, or would you like to see them sign a veteran quarterback a la Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, I watched the Liberty highlights. We're riding with Malik. I believe in him. I understand he just got here a couple weeks ago, needs to learn the playbook. But I think, like you were saying, if LaFleur's an elite coach, he can scheme around him. I think he's got the tools, the raw talent, to make something work. I think Willis is going to be fine for 4 weeks. I think he can beat the Titans. I think the Colts are going to be a little tougher, but I think he can do that. Vikings also suck. I'm taking the role of the glass half full here. I think the Packers could get 3 wins out of this stretch before Love comes back. I think it's possible.
I like the confidence from young Riley Yauch back at the Everlight Solar Studio.
Yeah, I'm a Willis Madison believer.
We need to come up with a good term for the Willis bandwagon.
Yes.
We'll think of that. Like
the Willis wagon.
Yep.
Malik wagon train. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how you sneak in the term believers. Like, I don't know.
Malieber?
I don't know.
No.
Malieber? Yeah, you're a Malieber. I like that, actually. I'm in on it. Josh, you're not so much a Malieber. I don't believe, at least from the early indication in our conversation. Joshy, would you rather the Packers trot out Malik Willis or sign a guy like Ryan Tannehill?
Stick with Willis. Also, Tannehill's not coming.
No, he's not. And actually, let's get to that because we had a little bit of a source off yesterday on Twitter between Diana Russini of The Athletic and Tom Pelissero, formerly of the Green Bay Press Gazette, now of NFL Network. Let's start with the Russini tweet, which she tweeted out yesterday that Ryan Tannehill essentially fielded a phone call from the Green Bay Packers and that he told Russini back in July for him to sign, quote, it would be have to be the right situation, end quote. But the Packers have reached out to free agent quarterback Ryan Tannehill, sources tell The Athletic, according to Diana Russini. An hour later, during the games, by the way, this is at like 12:30. You know, we already had kickoff on NFL Sunday, and Tom Pelissero is debating the facts. Tom Pelissero on Twitter, quote, the Packers have not reached out and are not expected to pursue any veteran quarterbacks, including Ryan Tannehill, per sources. The team expects Jordan Love back on the sooner end of the initial 3 to 6 week timeline and are focused on preparing Malik Willis and, of course, Sean Clifford, who will be elevated from the practice squad as Malik Willis's backup quarterback. So the later report is from Pelissero saying the Packers have not reached out and will not reach out to Ryan Tannehill. They are going to ride with Malik Willis. I will say, though, if it's closer to that 6 week mark, I'm pro Tannehill. If it's closer to that 3 week mark, I'm okay with riding with Willis and just hoping he can steal one. Because if let's just say Jordan Love is out 3 weeks, let's say it's on the short end of it, and the Packers are 0-4, I think you can go ahead and start thinking about the playoff hopes dwindling. Best record you can have is 13-4, but obviously they're not going to go 13-0 after starting 0-4. I think Malik Willis can get a win. I'm with Riley, if not 2 wins. Right? I think he can go 2-2. if we want to go glass half full, the optimistic part of me says this could not have happened at a better time in the schedule. This is the easiest stretch of the Packers' schedule the next 4 weeks than any other part, right? If this happened in November, the Packers are done for, given that they have a stretch of the Lions and the Niners and the Dolphins in there. But when you're playing teams like the Colts and the Titans and the Vikings, I have faith that the defense can step up against mediocre to bad offenses. And Matt LaFleur, being the offensive innovator and offensive genius he is, can scheme some things up to get to 24, 27 points, and that should be good enough to get a win against teams like the Titans and the Vikings. So I do have faith Malik Willis can get a win. Brad jokingly said it. Quarterback controversy agreement? No, obviously there will never be that. But as it stands right now, Monday, September 9th, 2024, I do declare I think I have faith in Malik Willis to get a win or two. If Jordan Love comes back and the Packers are, say, 2-3, season's not even close to dead. In fact, season's just getting going. So, for now, I'm going to be the optimistic Packers fan and say I have faith in Malik Willis to steal a few games, Josh.
I'm glad you're using the word faith, because right now all we have is blind faith in that.
Oh, yeah, faith ain't a strategy either. We should definitely clarify that part of it.
I do think, I mean, the Titans are that bad. I do think the Matt LaFleur point is well taken. And I do think there's just simply enough talent on the offensive side of the ball to kind of, you know, get your way through. It's not going to be pretty by any stretch of the imagination. We're not expecting him to light it up, but you just got to do enough to win games. That's all we're asking for him. Maybe you make a couple big throws, probably miss a lot of them too, but that's how football games are won.
Yeah, and your hope is, right, like he doesn't make any crucial mistakes. If he limits the crucial mistakes, the Packers are going to be in a position to win games. You know, if Malik Willis isn't throwing three interceptions, they're going to be okay. If he throws one, you're still okay. Yeah, I'm good with one interception a game, but no more would be great for Malik Willis, who will likely start Sunday for the Packers in their home opener against the Indianapolis Colts. I wrote panic or relax. I think we've kind of gotten through that. We're more on the relaxed side. I'm more Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, than I am hitting the panic button. Talk to me in 2 weeks. That's what I tell you right now. That answer could very, very quickly change if the Packers are 0-3. But as for now, R-E-L-A-X. The Packers season is still alive. The Super Bowl aspirations are still there. It sucks that it happened to Love, and it sucks that it happened in week one. But I'd rather it happen in week one than week 16. I'd rather the Packers go through this now than later. So I'm more in the R-E-L-A-X camp. But if Malik Willis looks like Caleb Williams did in week one, I'm being a little nervous if they're 0-3 or 0-4. And shoot, we just don't know much about Malik Willis. Brad pointed out the swing in the spread, right? The Packers went from 4.5-point favorites to 3.5-point underdogs, all because of the Love injury. It's a big swing, and tells you what Vegas thinks of the Packers' backup quarterback, Malik Willis. But you never know. Could have the Malik Willis weeks. Could be like Lynn's Sanity, but for Malik Willis. That's all you can hope for right now.
Jake Browning impressed last year.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started on Jake Browning. I don't know if you know this about me, Josh. I'm a huge Jake Browning fan.
Didn't know that about
you. I am a ginormous Jake Browning fan. Because the thing with him
is... girlfriend?
I actually have no idea who he's dating. He is the answer to every trivia question. Which NFL quarterbacks did this in 2023? He's the answer. Except, like, win a playoff game and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, you know, rush for over 150 and throw for over 150 yards in a game, Jake Browning did it. Two rushing, two passing touchdowns, Jake Browning did it. Yeah, the dude was actually sick when he filled in for Joe Burrow last year. But anyway, huge Jake Browning guy. So I'm glad you bring him up. Yeah, maybe Malik Willis can channel his inner Jake Browning. All right, let's wrap up the show as we always do. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. I'm not letting anybody else go because we need to have a group what we learned. It was announced while the show was live that Netflix will be releasing a three-part docuseries titled Aaron Rodgers Enigma, which is set to premiere on December 17th. Joshy DiMaggio is the most well-known Aaron Rodgers hater on planet Earth. Joshy will watch Monday Night Football tonight to poop on Aaron Rodgers. Joshy will likely read that Aaron Rodgers book written by Ian O'Connor to talk trash about Aaron Rodgers.
Unwilling to buy it, but I will read it.
Free audiobook if you have a Spotify subscription.
Love it.
Not sure if you knew that. And now Netflix releasing this three-part docuseries, Aaron Rodgers Enigma, set to premiere on December 17th. The promo photo they are showing of it is Aaron Rodgers shirtless with a mustache and flexing both of his arms.
Tough.
Joshy, what are your expectations and hopes for Aaron Rodgers Enigma coming out on Netflix December 17th?
I mean, my expectations are to be a unmitigated, just Aaron Rodgers talking about himself and how amazing and important he is. I do want to laugh in his face at, haha, this was supposed to be how you saved the Jets, took them to the playoffs, all that stuff, and you ended up with a documentary on you rehabbing from an Achilles injury. I'm not laughing at the injury. I'm just laughing at the fact that that wasn't how you guys all envisioned that when you started filming a documentary.
That's a good point.
It was football was supposed to be a part of it. I did watch the...
Wait, do you already know that it's not?
What do you mean?
You already know what the contents of the docuseries are?
Well, I believe that we found out last year that he was being followed by a crew for that season. So it's over now, and he hasn't played football since 2022, other than those four snaps.
Four snaps, right.
I did find it interesting. I watched the trailer. The surgeon, Atache Alatache, who did the his Achilles repair, is talking in it. And as he's talking, they're showing shots of Aaron Rodgers' ankle. They are on a private jet. And there's a woman with a pillow in her lap that has Rodgers' foot on it. And she's like rubbing it in one of the clips. No idea who that woman is.
So it's not Blue of Earth and it's not Mallory Edens.
They did not show that woman's face.
Oh.
So it left it a little. I imagine we'll see that person at some point, but that was just a little bit that made me go, who the heck is that?
What if Aaron Rodgers is married and we don't know it? It would be on brand.
He could be.
Could be. All right. Well, Aaron Rodgers Enigma releasing on Netflix December 17th. Remind me when that comes out because I will I will watch
it. He won't let you forget.
Aaron Rodgers plays football tonight. San Francisco 49ers, New York Jets. I do have to give credit to the schedule makers, which I did a little bit last week. Great week one. Now, a lot of teams look like it was week one.
Yeah,
a lot of teams look like they didn't play in the preseason. But we had high-scoring games. We had some competitive games. Sunday Night Football goes to overtime. Thursday and Friday night, both really entertaining games. I went to a Bills bar yesterday, Joshy. I watched the Bills Cardinals game with a bunch of Bills fans.
Was that a plan or did you just end up there?
No, that was a plan. I went with our boss and his wife, who is a Bills fan, and I learned a Bills chant that they do after every score. I don't know if I'm supposed to give up the trade secrets, but I'm going to. You know, you go hey 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 ho ho, let's go Buffalo! Josh Allen makes me want to shout. They do that after every score. It was quite strange.
Huh. Yeah, it sounds like the last place on earth I want to be.
No, it was fun, and it was a good game. I'm high on the Cardinals this year, as we've discussed in past.
I don't want chanting. I'm chanting down.
Yeah, well, they all do it, man. Bills fans are another breed. No tables were broken in the occurrence, yeah.
Have you seen the movie Tommy Boy?
I have not.
It's a movie with Chris Farley back in the 80s. That sounds exactly like a scene from that movie.
You haven't seen Tommy Boy?
Well, it's from the song, you know, you make me want to shout. So I don't know what it was derived from.
Tommy Boy? That's the most fascinating thing I've learned.
So I'm not a big movie guy. You could rip off 10 classic movies right now, and I've probably seen one or two of them. I mean, go. Just start naming classic
Tommy
movies.
Tommy Boy is Scarface.
Scarface I've not seen.
The Departed.
I've never even heard of that.
I'm just trying to go. Like, I understand your point's well taken, but Tommy Boy is like perfect for you.
Well, I'll put it on the list. I would say, Scarface, I know Tony Montana.
Yeah.
Say hello to my little
friend. The
Godfather. I have seen The Godfather.
Okay, there you go.
Riley, any others? Just prove I don't watch movies?
Dumb and Dumber, you have to have seen that.
No, never.
What?
Wow.
Never.
For your...
I've seen Wayne's World.
For your brain, those are like the movies for you.
Are you calling me an idiot?
No.
But what do you mean for my brain?
It's just the type of thing you'd like.
What about the other guys? The other guys. Great comedy.
Is that Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg
yes.
as cops?
Yes.
I have.
That was,
I have seen
that was
okay.
Wild.
Okay, there we go.
I've seen
a lot of Will Ferrell
you've
movies.
You've seen the other guys before Tommy Boy and Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, I've never seen a Star
those
Wars movie.
Like, yeah.
I've only watched the first Harry Potter. What other series are there? Lord of the Rings I've never seen. Twilight I've never seen.
Twilight.
Yeah, I tend to agree. All right, anyway. Malik Willis is the Green Bay Packers quarterback. It's going to be a hell of a week. We're back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30, continuing to break down the Packers quarterback situation in the season ahead as they prepare to be without Jordan Love for likely the next month. 0-1, Malik Willis is your guy. Not ideal, but we will navigate. We will see how it goes for the Packers as they prepare to live life without Jordan Love here in week two against the Indianapolis Colts. Home opener on Sunday at Lambeau Field. Green Bay game day with you on Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. Gabe Neitzel, Jarrett Bush, Super Bowl champion, Jason Wilde, Rob Domofsky, myself with you live from Lambeau Field or just outside of Lambeau Field, Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. Getting you ready for that one in game one of the Malik Willis era of Green Bay Packers football. But back with you here on Mr. Relevant Wednesday and Friday beginning at 12:30. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, ESPN Madison on Facebook. And of course, available wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, any of the in-between. Just search Mr. Relevant. Will be the first result that pops up. Mr. Relevant presented by Door County Distillery. Also brought to you in part by Underdog. We're back with you Wednesday at 12:30. Looking forward to taking a deep breath and continuing the RELAX session we are currently in, and that will continue on Wednesday. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Stroph. We'll talk to you then. Peace.